This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good Monday morning to you and yours. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back in Cleveland, Ohio. I, sir, am team no sleep today. What a weekend of sports. I don't know where we're going to begin, where we're going to end. The Stanley Cup Finals ends last night. The NBA Finals concluded on Saturday. You, sir, I asked you on Friday, how many series would still be alive if I gave you a half for the over-under? You took the under, Jensen Lewis, and there are no more. They're all gone.
It is. What a finish. What a crescendo and really a perfect segue for us to off-ramp onto a major golf week. The football is upon us, man. A week away from having our VSiN NFL betting guide come out. Cannot wait. I will be diving in earnest, headed to the library this week to get all the great research done. And boy, what a night for you, my friend. I felt like last week was that Super Bowl week in the fight world. You know, you're doing all the interviews, you're doing all the analysis, you got all the dignitaries coming in. We had a delay. Never in the history of UFC, we had a rain delay we had to worry about, but that did not delay what was a magical night in your world, my friend.
It really was. It was incredible. We'll break that down. Records were set last night in so many different ways that we'll get to here in the world of the UFC on the South Lawn of the White House. Just a majestic evening. But what a show we have lined up in this Monday. Will Hill is going to be kind enough to get up early today in Connecticut and join us here in hour number one. Pete Jensen is going to be with us. He's been with us throughout the entirety of the Stanley Cup playoffs to put a bow on what we saw last night in Las Vegas. And Zachary Cohen to do the same thing with the NBA. Look ahead to the NBA draft as well coming up here in just about 10 days. So much to get to, but we do begin with a new champion in the Stanley Cup. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
We're getting a lot of the old for the first time since in the world of sports. For the Knicks, is 73. Not that long for the Hurricanes. Just 20 years way back in 2006. But it's championship number two for the Hurricanes franchise. They get it in grand fashion. 3-0 is the final. They had an empty netter late here. One in the first, one in the second, one in the third. And Jensen, I hope John Tortorella got his clothes shipped back from Raleigh, because VGK is not going back for a game seven.
This was the exclamation point on a very signature win for Carolina and really indicative of what their postseason run was like this year, Dave Wright. Suffocating defense, just kind of death by a thousand cuts. They score once each period, as you alluded to. Congratulations to Taylor Hall. I believe entering this postseason, or at least entering the Stanley Cup final, had the most games played without a Stanley Cup championship. And so he gets that one off the list. Honorable mention to Brandon Bussey, who stepped right in at the end of game three.
Yeah.
Is as close to a Conn Smythe alternate that you can have. And then Jordan Staal, a Stanley Cup final to remember, almost on the breakaway, had a chance to do what no other NHL player had ever done and score in the first six games of a Stanley Cup final. All's well that ends well. Credit to Vegas, though, man. Up against it, and to come out of the West, Dave, and I know we'll jump into it further, but what a job by John Tortorella. Stepping in with a week or so left in the regular season, and that magical, you can't draw that up. I don't people realize how difficult that is to step in and be able to take that team up against the opponents they had to go against to get there. So job well done, Vegas, but well done even better for the Carolina Hurricanes, your Stanley Cup champions in 2026.
Yeah, I'm in the tank for Torts. I was kidding. Obviously, that was his comment, and that's what you want to say. You want to try to fire up the troops. Hey, we're coming back for a game seven. You try to put the best spin on it. Remember, we'll talk about this with Pete a little bit later on, too. Torts had said this was a short-term deal, so I don't know if he's going to be back as a head coach of VGK next year. That does not seem to be the plan, but what a step-in performance for John Tortorella getting to the final, but to the victor go the spoils. Congratulations to Carolina. Just very quickly, this was my nephew, Justin, sent me this video. This is about an hour before puck drop in Las Vegas. Jensen, look at this. They're there, yeah. Justin, with his son Liam, and a packed house in Raleigh. This was the watch party. You would have thought Game 7 or Game 6 was going on there. Look at that scene. If you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, absolutely incredible. So hockey in the South, it's a real thing. Congratulations. They earned it, and their fan base showed up in Raleigh last night in earnest. Hey, Knick fans, we know you're out there, and we know you're still celebrating, much like Carolina fans will be celebrating tonight. They got it done Saturday night in San Antonio. It just, if you're San Antonio, you're going to look back in this and go, how many double-digit leads did we blow? Basically everyone that you lost. And it's pretty amazing for the first time since 1973 for the Knicks to get that elusive championship, Jensen. It feels like Jalen Brunson, it might not be the biggest statue they'd have to build one day, but the little big man got it done, MVP, and well-deserved in the NBA Finals.
Amen to that. You mentioned the double-digit leads. Yeah, you had one more, and you knew that the Knicks, if you were alive better at any point throughout those wins, boy, you have a nice chunk of change. 83-73, the Spurs led with 8:21 remaining, and it was all Knicks from there. Dave, to put that into perspective, the Knicks outscored their opponents in the entirety of the postseason by 283 total points. That is by far the largest point differential in NBA playoff history. You have to go all the way back to the originators of blowing the 3-1 lead. That would be the Golden State Warriors in 2016 when they had outscored opponents by 230. So 53 more that the Knicks had done it. An incredible run. They didn't lose, Dave, in 51 days, at least as far as where they went. One loss in 51 days. I mean, it was remarkable to see this run, and an incredible celebration that I'm sure will be underway on Thursday when they have that massive parade in Manhattan.
Yeah, only three instances in the NBA Finals where teams come back from 20-point deficits and won, and the Knicks did it twice in the same series. I mean, the stuff that they did in this series, you're just not supposed to do. So incredible to get that done. Knicks in five. I'm sure they're going to be printing those T-shirts. We'll do a bow and wrap up the NBA season two now that that has concluded. You mentioned it. Team no sleep this morning for what we saw at Freedom 250. We'll talk a lot more about this as well. But the highlight of all highlights is Justin Gaethje. They call him a highlight for a reason. And what a highlight he put on to grab the belt last night from Ilya Topuria. And if you haven't seen it yet, I mean, it was a beatdown. There was a spot here in the second where it looked like Ilya Topuria was going to get Justin Gaethje out of there and retain his championship. And no, the overhits for us. We'll get to our bets later on. But Jensen, just in totality, to cap off a 7-fight card at the White House, well past midnight in the East Coast last night, and to see Justin Gaethje finally get that elusive, not interim title, but the actual lightweight belt, it felt like the UFC last night. If it wasn't already on the map, it has been discovered this morning.
It is an incredible scene, and again, slightly delayed by about an hour due to some weather concerns in the area. Dave, I've never seen an opening at any sporting venue, let alone any spot that a sport was having an event take place. To see the Air Force Thunderbirds and the Navy Blue Angels come together in the Super Squadron, I'm getting chills. I was telling our technical director, Larry Meir, this morning, I've been part of some amazing opens in a postseason in Major League Baseball. I have never in my life gotten the instantaneous chills of seeing those formations come together with how renowned they were, with what it means for the country. Surreal scene to see there, and an incredible fight card that you, my friend, absolutely dominated leading up to the weekend. Outstanding job all the way around from UFC Freedom 250 for you, my man.
Appreciate that. We'll get into that too a little bit later on. Yeah, and I've been a part of those in the Marine Corps. And that Marine Corps band, by the way, last night, just they're amazing. Whatever the Marine Corps does, it seems to be amazing. We'll get into the pomp and circumstance. But everybody, job well done. The UFC, the White House, everybody, you could not have put on a better show last night. World Cup has been fantastic. It's going to continue today. Team USA won't play again until Thursday in their second round match. But Jensen, we've got a quadruple set of games heading today. What are you looking forward to here as we go to week number two here of the FIFA World Cup?
We are up almost 5 units for VSiN Pro subscribers. So great job tailing if you have. A couple of big blowouts yesterday. Germany, we played a team total over 3.5. They basically doubled that up, beating Curacao 7-1. Most goals allowed by a World Cup debutante, I believe, since the 50s. And we all remember that World Cup. No, we don't. Sweden ends up beating Tunisia while you were watching UFC 250. They win 5-1. Mm-hmm. Big upset, though. Ivory Coast, in a low-scoring affair, they beat Ecuador 1-0. That is massive for those implications. But today, Dave, you're going to see the short shot on the board. Spain will take on Cape Verde. Belgium, who might be one of those dark horse candidates, takes on Egypt. And Iran, not a good weekend for Iran. They will take on New Zealand. And we will have, obviously, some plays in most of those games as well.
Yeah, and again, we'll be talking a lot about Team USA coming up on Thursday as well as the week goes. And also, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the U.S. Open, speaking of as the week goes, and a little bit more totality, because that will begin on Thursday here at Shinnecock in Shinnecock Hills there outside of New York City. So that will be an event for the ages as well for our national championship. So we'll get to that and some breakdowns. I've got some things you should look for as a bettor that I want to get to later on in the program. Just some things before you start to fill out that card this week that you should really be and pay attention to here before you put in those bets for Shinnecock and this tournament in specifics. But Jensen, I did want to ask you, by the way, Bud Cauley won the Canadian Open yesterday. Congratulations to Bud, his first championship on the PGA Tour. But when we come back, more a little bit about the U.S. Open and also what we saw in the world of hockey and what does this mean for John Tortorella and VGK and Carolina staying power here. We'll find out if it's one and done, but hadn't been done since 2006. More hockey, NBA, golf, UFC, you name it. Just getting it started on a Monday morning here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Season may still be months away, but the bettors are already preparing for it, and you know we are too. So next week, we are going to release our NFL betting guide. It's packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, divisional races, and the upcoming season. You can lock in those early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 and be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you're going to get out of that. Full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl next February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, I've already done the majority of my write-ups on there, and I know that you, sir, said you're going to be attacking that guide. I believe today you're going to try to get it out, get after it here. I can't wait to see. And again, we did this last year in kind of our fantasy draft with all the other hosts here in the network, kind of tips your hand as to what you like for the season. But I'll be very curious to see here in June, with that betting guide coming out next week, how the rest of our hosts are already attacking the upcoming NFL season. No better time than the present to become a VSiN Pro subscriber if you haven't done so already.
Right. And remember, it's VSiN NFL Betting Guide 1.0. We will have a 2.0 once training camp is all done. So we'll get some of the reaction there. But in earnest, we'll be getting those things entered. Excited to see what Adam Burke has for us on Wednesday. Maybe a little peek behind the curtain at anything new this year. But as you said, no better time, especially for an annual subscription, Dave. 365 days through gets you not only the NFL Betting Guide, the College Betting Guide, and all the way through next year, Major League Baseball, the March Madness betting guide, of course, the Masters, all of that. It is as good a time as any to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, no question about it.
Mentioned that Bud Cauley did win the RBC Canadian Open yesterday, his first ever victory in the PGA Tour. I mentioned yesterday on X, to his Twitter, whatever you want to call it. You know, these guys are all rich. We all understand that. But there's something about winning, and you know this at the highest level, to see that emotion pour over 2 weeks in a row after JT Poston had won at Jack's Place. You see, you don't want to say middling players, but you see these players that kind of win and break through, and it really does change their trajectory. Don't know how it's going to affect him this week at Shinnecock. But later on in the program, we'll give you some do's and don'ts, some things to look for on that course in specifics in the U.S. Open. Before you make those bets, we're going to have you covered pillar to post before we tee it up on Thursday morning when we're doing the show here in just 3 short days. Can't wait for that. Stanley Cup playoff has come and gone, and Carolina gets the win 3-0. We'll talk to Pete Jensen about this a little bit later on in the program. And, you know, again, we can look at early lines here for next year, certainly, and Carolina will be one of those teams that will be one of the short betting choices again. But, Jensen, they are now on that short list of teams with the fewest number of games to win a Stanley Cup. Edmonton, 18, was the lowest. They did it in 19 games. And so you see they are, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, plus 650 next year to get it done there. The Avalanche is the second betting choice. Then we get to 10-1s and beyond. But 19 games is all it took for Carolina to win this. Now, it felt longer because the final was a little bit longer, going to 6 games. And kind of the topsy-turvy nature of the way a lot of those early games went here in the Stanley Cup Final. But, Jensen, now that we look back on it, not to say it was easy, but if I just gave you that stat before the series began, the Stanley Cup playoffs, you go 19 games, well, that's a cakewalk.
I think what's unique about this group, Dave, is you sweep through, at least in Carolina's perspective, you sweep through the first 2 series, and then you have 12 days to think about. It has been the bane of our existence, at least in recent playoff history, that the Eastern Conference Final, it almost felt like the Stanley Cup was the Eastern Conference Final for the Carolina Hurricanes. They get absolutely whitewashed in Game 1, and then they come back and they put it on a very young Montreal Canadian team that I think when we look towards 2027, that's a squad. And I was shocked to see some of the early Stanley Cup odds and how long of odds there were for Montreal. We'll get into that in a moment. But as it stands, we look at Rod Brind'Amour first and foremost. You and I talk a lot about what does coaching mean in our big sports, and especially in the postseason. Well, you had a guy who had been there, done that as a player. You had a guy who had knocked on the door a handful of times, could not get it through. But then you kind of had this makeup of the team where you had plenty of veterans, you had plenty of depth, and you had to really make maybe the most consequential coaching decision of your career. Now, was Frederik Andersen hurt? We'll probably find out here moving forward, but you can connect the dots, Dave, that this may have been Rod Brind'Amour's hand being forced because of an injury, or at least that's what we're anticipating we find out. But a guy that just comes in, it was seamless. Dave, we've seen some young guys come in. He's got his family. He's got his fiance in the crowd. And this dude looked like he'd been there for 6-7 years. Credit to him for coming in late in Game 3. And I mean, immediately stops the bleeding. It changes momentum. And then you look at the oldest man to win the Conn Smythe, and Jordan Staal has a Stanley Cup final. Remember, this is, to me, having been there, and seeing what it's like when you see all these ingredients come together, that is what I look at with this Carolina team. They were dominant to start. They got hit in the mouth that first game in the Eastern Conference Final. They jump right back in, and then they take out, you know, what kind of felt like Team of Destiny with VGK, the way Torts had taken over at the end of the year. So credit where it's due first and foremost. This team was the best team, and they showed it winning it last night.
Yeah, I hopped in when they were down 2-1 in the final, got them about plus $1.50 to win the Stanley Cup. And again, it got dicey in Game 4, as we saw, and there was no guarantee that was going to come through. In hindsight, it looked pretty easy. They win the next 3, and we cash those tickets. But it wasn't that easy, right? Rod Brind'Amour knows how hard it is to win, and he did win this back in 2006 as a player. And now to win it 20 years later as a head coach, let's hear from the head coach on the difference of then and now.
I've been asked that a lot here now. It's still awesome. It's just as awesome. But as a player, it was a little different because I'd worked and dreamt about winning a cup my whole life. And so that, it was like a piano came off my back. this time around, I wanted it. It was for the group. Like, I wanted them to feel what it's like, and I wanted it so bad for them. So to watch them finally get it, and then when I'm grabbing it, they give it to, just to see the look on their faces is it's worth. It's priceless, because you know how happy they were for me, and it was the other way around for me. You know, and I'll never forget that.
That's it's pretty cool, and you can hear the emotion in his voice, and it is different, right? It's very different when you're a player and the coaches want it for you, and then when you're a coach, you want it for your players. So to have that experience as both of those for Rob Brind'Amour, you can see there's something about it. And like, I think people would marvel at John Cooper, let's say, when Tampa Bay would win, he would look so stoic, and it was because he's trying to make it not about him in the moment, but about his players. And Jets, you can really appreciate, I think, that sentiment for Rob Brind'Amour. And you know this as a player trying to win at the highest levels in baseball, that's what your manager, right? You want to win for your manager, too. And I know those guys wanted to win for Rob Brind'Amour. But, boy, the inverse is true as well. And I think you could hear that in his voice.
Totally agree. Credit to them. And, again, take a bow, Vegas, because to slay the Giants, and especially the biggest one in Colorado, in the fashion that they did, with a quote-unquote interim head coach with all the experience in the world, there is nothing like trying to adjust with that kind of shakeup, knowing where you were headed to the postseason. That's where I got to. I mentioned the numbers that we'll look at for the way too early Stanley Cup odds for 2027. Dave, I was utterly shocked that on the first page, there's no Montreal Canadiens. I am probably going to jump on them at 22-1 or better. Think of where they just were, and I've said this to you many times, there is nothing like experience for a young team. They got on a magical run. They were this close, and there's something about it. Take it from someone who was there my rookie year. We lose in game 7 in Boston, and that offseason was, hey, really excited about what we did. But I was like, I cannot wait to get back here. This was awesome. And so I think Montreal is a team I'd look at. And the Ottawa Senators, the great Mike Palm, the maestro, had kind of targeted them at the beginning of the playoffs. Dave, remember, it was just a laydown almost, an embarrassment of what they did against Carolina in round one. You're like, you got to be kidding me. We targeted them as maybe one of the shots to upset a top seed. It doesn't get there. And I can't believe I'm saying this, Dave. I think the Cup in jeopardy of moving north of the border next year for the first time in what feels like forever. I mean, just the way that Montreal is positioned, Ottawa, I think, deserves a little bit more credit. They did not have a great showing. I think that's going to motivate that group. I would not be surprised if we get back to a conference final next year and one of those teams finds their way, especially back in the East.
Since 1993, that's the last time Montreal, ironically, the last Canadian team to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup. Boy, that'd be a nice prop. Take Canada or USA next year. I wonder what number we might be able to find out there, but I think you got multiple options. By the way, I mentioned Torts. His future is uncertain in Las Vegas. We'll ask Pete Jensen about it a little bit later on. Remember, the plan was just to be on an interim basis. That's all this was. That was the handshake agreement from the GM to Tortorella taking over for Bruce Cassidy at the end of the year. Do you want to come back? Does Torts want to come back? Those are questions for VGK because it is uncertain. You got to have the right guy behind the glass there in order to try to pull off one of these Stanley Cup wins. How did the Knicks get it done? Well, they got it done. Knicks in 5. We'll look back and then look ahead to next year. Next, right here at VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Circus 2026 football contests are open. You don't have to live in Las Vegas in order to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner Circle Proxy handles your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the United States. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, I've already made it. Jensen's going to make his. You can play all season long from anywhere in the country. I think, for my money, the greatest football contest in the world. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Back alongside the aforementioned Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. Yes, I've got a little sleep deprivation today. USA plays Friday against Australia. Not Thursday. I'm still on UFC White House time. I don't know what day it is, what time it is, Jensen. It's just been a chaotic 24 hours. My phone's still blowing up this morning with my buddies. Did you stay up all night? And I'm like, yep, I did. I stayed up all night, watched every second of it. We'll get to it a little bit later on. It was a night for the ages for the UFC, Jensen. And again, you see some of these things in real time happen in your lifetime. And I think one of those was last night, a coming of age for the UFC, for mixed martial arts. We'll get to that a little bit later. But talk about coming of an age and your time. How about the Knicks? Again, you had a juicy take, 16-1, I do believe, on the Knicks. And when did you get that, Jensen? Around Christmas time, is that right?
It was the week of Thanksgiving. And again, Thanksgiving. Had a couple of other Eastern Conference teams. Yeah, and to be fair, Dave, we do this a lot on this show, and we try and diversify the portfolio. When you find some value, you want to try and snatch it, or at least try and foreshadow, okay, should this group kind of move forward? And, you know, we really in earnest look around probably Christmas Day is that pseudo, all right, this is kind of when everyone starts to look at the NBA a little bit more with scrutiny. So I had actually gone with the Pistons at 50-1. I had the Knicks at 16-1. I took two astronomical long shots on Toronto at 200-1. I didn't even go with my Cavaliers. I did write them up for our NBA betting guide. but to me, it again, this was kind of what I told you, that the physicality, and this is a perfect segue to what we just watched in the finals. I was worried about Cleveland. Could they handle another physical series? Because Indiana just walked all over them last year en route to an early exit. You could say the Knicks kind of did the same thing. Out-physicaled them. They were tougher. And the Knicks turned the trick again on the gangly Victor Wembanyama, who still is defiant to this day, typical Frenchman. But that you have to kind of admit that not only in your UFC fight sense, the Knicks were on the floor and on the ropes almost every game early. And they had to scratch and claw to get back in. But when they had chances to land haymakers, Dave, I don't know about you, but every time they landed it and they had the best fighter of them all in Jalen Brunson in their corner. So I think they deserve as much credit for the comeback and the resiliency as being able to get some of those games across the line. Statistically, San Antonio may have dominated in some aspects, but Dave, do you know the only stat anyone cares about in a championship round? It's wins. And if you have more wins, if you get to four in the NBA finals before the other team, I don't give a damn what the stats say. You're the champs. You will be there at the top. And that's all that matters for the New York Knicks.
Well, it's perfect in the UFC equation of a main event, which goes scheduled five rounds. This was Knicks in five. And if the Spurs want to say they won four rounds and got knocked out in the fifth, so be it. You still lost the fight. And that's the bottom line. So, yeah, you won a lot of this series, Victor Wembanyama. But I think mentally tough is what we saw, is certainly in those fourth quarters for all those comebacks and come back this totality of the playoffs to do it once against Cleveland down 20 plus in the fourth quarter and once against San Antonio down 20 plus in this series. And then it only happened, I believe, one other time and to do it twice and come back. And they were 2-0 in games that they trailed by 20 or more in this postseason. That's unheard of. That's mentally tough. And I do think Mike Brown should get a lot of credit for keeping this team in the fight and never waving the white flag ever when other teams had done in the postseason, tried to turn the page to the next game. The Knicks never did that. They played every game like it was potentially their last one. A lot of talk about, can you win with a little guy, right? In the history of the NBA, do you count Steph Curry as a little guy? Isaiah Thomas won championships back in the Piston Bad Boy days. But since then, you know, Steve Nash never got it done. Allen Iverson never got it done. And Jalen Brunson, could he be big enough to lead the Knicks to a championship? It seems preposterous to ask that question now in hindsight after what he did, which was absolutely spectacular. Well, when you win, Jensen, sometimes those post-game celebrations, you might have a little bit, you might be a little bit inebriated. Here's Jalen Brunson talking about his play and the Knicks play down the stretch to close this things out.
Tonight, we play like we wanted to go home champions. To finish the game, not to start the game, to finish the game. Yeah. it means the world to me to play, go on that court with those guys, whatever environment we're in, home or away, doesn't matter for us.
That's so good.
You know what? That's what's supposed to be like. Take us back to those locker rooms. Cause you see the goggles. Did you guys have the goggles on back in your day?
Hell no. We were real men. Come on. You play all year for the burn. I did two interviews with the Hall of Famer, Tom Hamilton, Jim Rosenhaus on the Indians Radio Network. And Dave, there's no better feeling, right? I mean, you do all the work in the off season, you go through the ups and downs. It's the only time you can champagne bath your front office, your general manager, your manager. It's the only acceptable time. Okay. So you take advantage of it. It took me a solid couple hours for the burn to get to a manageable level to keep my eyes open after that. But hey, Jalen Brunson now enters into the pantheon of Knicks greats. Is he the best ever? That's heady praise. The bottom line is that he will be remembered for leading this team when everyone doubted him. And it is hysterical to go back and look at some of the media, both locally and nationally, years ago that wrote him off. I don't know how many people are getting there for when the Las Vegas Aces come into town. Becky Hammon with one of the worst takes ever. That is going to be one of the most attended WNBA games for one reason only, and it's not Caitlin Clark. That is one of the great things as an athlete, Dave. We hear all the noise. You use it as motivation. And Jalen Brunson did it his way. He wasn't defiant to the media. He just went out
and did
his job. I think I respect him tenfold more than anyone else. He absorbed it. He took it. He went out. He led men. He led a group that held, two of his other boys and Josh Hart and Mikal Bridges. I mean, they were effusive in their, like, he's the man. Mike Brown, he's 1A. There's only a handful in the game, Dave, and there's even fewer that have won the NBA Finals. And so I think that a lot of respect needs to be put on Jalen Brunson for what he did, not only individually, but it's the collective. How do you mold and how do you motivate the guys around you? He's as important a piece of this organization's history as there ever will be.
They're plus 750 to repeat as NBA champions this time next year. And again, the Spurs right now, $5 shorter because of Victor Wembanyama. We'll talk a lot about him as the offseason goes and whether or not he needs to change his game a little bit, play a little bit deeper. I saw some tweets out there from former players like, wow, 7-6 and no post-up game. You know, there are some things out there that in the fourth quarter kind of showed themselves. But I want to get back to a bigger point you just made, which I think is spot on and should not go understated. And you said lead, Jalen Brunson, leader of men. To win in that city, that's why it takes captains like Mark Messier in 94. It took a captain like Derek Jeter to lead by example. It takes a captain like Jalen Brunson to lead those other guys. It's not an easy place to play and or win. We all know that in New York. It is built different. And Jensen, that's exactly it. You need a leader. And adults, grown men, still need to be led, whether it's the head coach or whether it's that player and that alpha in Jalen Brunson. And to do it understated, kind of the ways in Messier did and Jeter did, I think you can make that Brunson comparison today. And probably, as you said, will go down as one of the greatest New York athletes, not just Knicks, of all time.
Well said. Just a way too early look, and I just happened to look at a couple of numbers. Two that jumped out to me, Dave, as long as Nikola Jokic is still a Denver Nugget next year, 28-1 on Denver feels pretty juicy in the Western Conference. And again, that's an NBA Finals 2027 championship odds. And then I would look also at the Indiana Pacers getting Tyrese Haliburton healthy back. It's a group that'll be motivated, very high upside. Those were two longer shots that really jumped out to me. So might be jumping in the way too early pool on the shallow end for those two numbers in those respective conferences.
Watching the UFC last night, there was a Kelce commercial, and I saw Giannis Antetokounmpo doing a really good commercial, by the way. And I thought, boy, this guy's star seems like it's too big for Milwaukee. So we wonder, does Giannis go to Boston 6-1 next year for the C's to get back in the winner's circle? Dare I say LA 33-1 for the Lakers next year. It's going to be interesting this offseason. It always is in the NBA. This is By the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Continue the Monday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. Look who's getting up early for us, Jensen, here on a Monday morning back in the East Coast, the King of Connecticut. Will Hill is also the host, not just the King of Connecticut, of the Should Have Been More podcast. Give him a follow on X at Not The Will Hill. Joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. I don't know what means more, to be the king of a state or to have your own nationwide pod that's sweeping the country, but Will, kind enough to join us here. Look, before we look at some Major League Baseball today, we do want to look back. Jensen and I trying to kind of put a bow in this NBA season and looking at the Knicks and what they were able to accomplish in five. We were kind of kidding with Wemby. You know, Wemby, I don't know what he's doing of this. Like, does he think there's still going to be another game? I don't know. What'd you make of the Knicks just coming back, and then coming back again and putting away the Spurs in five?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. I keep saying this one sentence: the Knicks are NBA champions. It's hard to believe. I guess anything is possible. You know, 94-90, the Spurs, Wemby misses a shot, Knicks rebound, Spurs don't foul, and the Knicks are champs. It's hard to believe this team was so inept for so long, and it just happened so quickly. I mean, this was a good team this year and the past few years, but there was really no sign that this was a championship team. And for them to just blowtorch the entire competition here this postseason, go 16-3. I mean, nobody does that. That's Chicago Bulls with Jordan type stuff. That's Shaq and Kobe Lakers stuff. That's Steph, KD, Warriors. I mean, what they did was incredible. Now, on the other hand, the Spurs, look, I know they're young. And I said this the other day, Mitch Johnson, the Spurs coach, you can have him. De'Aaron Fox, you can have him. That is one of the great chokes you're ever going to see. I mean, that really is. When you think about the four games they lost, guys, I mean, look at it. Game one, they're up 14, middle of the third quarter, at home. They lose. Okay. Game two, they're up two, under a minute left, at home. They lose. And game four, up 30 in the second half, up 20 with 9 minutes to go. They lose. And then to top it off, in game five, they're up 16, and they're up 10 with 7 minutes to go. To lose all of those games is just, it's impossible. I mean, they led for 72% of the series. Some of the stats on this stuff, you know, the first, third, and fifth greatest comeback in finals history, all in the same series. People say, oh, it's not a choke. They're young. Knicks were better. I don't care. That was a choke. But congrats to the Knicks. Those fans are great. I mean, those fans sat through a lot of, you know, Knicks-Wizards games in the middle of January all these years. And to finally hold up the trophy after 50-something years, it's why we like sports and it's what sports are all about. Looking at next year's odds, you know, I can't take the two short shots with, Oklahoma City, San Antonio. They both have to face each other. If I was going to take a shot at a number, I know people will say the Pacers are popular, and that will be a popular team here going forward. To me, the Hornets at 90-1, if you wanted just a fun one, or a team that could maybe win a round, maybe win two, a team that was really good from January 1st on. They were kind of a little bit of a bettor's darling here, especially on VSiN. They got some play-in experience, some postseason experience. I could see them making a leap and being like a 50-ish win team, and then you get in the playoffs, win a round or so, and then who knows? So I think they're going to win the championship? No, but at least, you know, you're not in the West where you're facing those two giants. That's the one where, from a quote-unquote value perspective, I thought that one just looked a little bit off. Again, I can't take the short numbers. I do expect Giannis to be traded probably to Boston within the next week or two. So them at plus 550 is interesting if they kind of make over their team. But again, plus 550. You're tying up your money for a year. I'm not sure, but I do expect that trade to go down here. So Hornets, I thought was interesting at 90-1. I just thought that was a little bit higher than I expected.
Will, I had a $100 bonus bet from the World Cup, a little bet and get. That has officially just been locked in at DraftKings. Hornets 100-1, 100 to win 10 grand. So let's channel a little Charlotte Hornets here for the upcoming season. Speaking of some scoring, I said this to Dave. I did pitch in Las Vegas in the minor leagues for a series, and I am thrilled that I never had to call it home. We are a couple of years away from that being the home of the Athletics, and I got to tell you, I know the unders went 4-2. That is not happening over the course of an 82 home game schedule. What do you take away from that? And any early looks to the diamond in a short slate here in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, and I will say the unders have a chance when you make them like football scores, when you make them like the Army-Navy total, and it's like, you know, in the 17, 18, yeah, the unders are going to have a chance. So they adjust for it. But and poor Kyle Harrison, that guy was doing great. I have him 90-1 for Cy Young, and he was cruising right along. He got to Vegas, trouble arrived, and then he pitched great yesterday against Sanchez. I like the under tonight. We're back in Sacramento, which I guess is better than Vegas. But two pitchers I like. Jared Jones, who missed all of last year, kind of forgotten about, but he is really good. He kind of gets overshadowed because of the Mizorowskis, the Skeens, these other guys. He's not on that level. But elite velocity, elite extension. He's pitching for the Pirates. He's back. He's been okay. Pitched pretty well last start out against the Dodgers last Wednesday. And then Ginn's a guy I like for the A's. He's a guy who's a little bit of a victim of the ballpark too, but he keeps the ball on the ground. You know, 80% ground balls. Good curveball, good breaking ball. So to me, you're getting under 5.5 in the first five at plus money. You don't see that very much. If you hold out, maybe you get a six. Those are numbers you just don't see if you're betting these first fives very often. So under 5.5 plus money here, A's and Pirates, kind of a random interleague game on a Monday night. But two pitchers I like, I'll go with the plus money on the first five under.
All right, well, don't look now. You can look. The red hot Metropolitans, winners of three of their last six, four of their last eight, and six of their last 10. I mean, this team, you don't want to get in front of that train that is the New York Metropolitans today, even though Chase Burns is on the other side, do you?
I think there's a little bit of value on the Reds here. And I do think the Mets, I mean, look, as bad as it's been, what are they, 31 and 30? They're really not dead. Nobody's buried. I was going through this yesterday with John Jastrzemski. You can probably count out the Giants. You can count out the Rockies. Other than that, everyone's within five or so games. All these extra wildcard spots and all this mediocrity in baseball, it's hard to count these teams out. So it's going to be an interesting deadline, guys, where nobody's really out of it except for a few teams, and everyone can kind of talk themselves into, hey, we got a shot. And we've seen teams in these past few years, you know, make some runs. But as far as this game, you know, I would lean towards the Reds. I think the Reds probably win. Myers gives up a lot of hard contact. Burns is awesome. How would you like to be a hitter in the National League Central? We have Mizorowski, you have Skeens, and Burns almost gets forgotten about, but his numbers are incredible. 2.13 ERA. The expected is a little higher, but not much. Still under three. The bet I like the most, under 4.5 hits allowed for Burns. This is 6-1 in his last seven starts. He had one start last Tuesday where he gave up seven hits against the Padres and got touched up a little bit. But before that, it's four hits or under in the previous six. So six out of seven is pretty good. I'll take my shot here that Burns stays under 4.5 hits in a game I like here, a prop I like here in the Mets-Reds games.
Yeah, I do like the under 8.5. Played that at minus $1.16. So I think we're all looking for run suppression there at Great American Ballpark. You and I have talked on the world-renowned Should Have Bet More podcast on a couple of great future races in Major League Baseball. I'll give you the floor. If you had to jump in right now on the National League Cy Young and what Mizorowski has done, it is what it is. He's the odds on favorite. Can you take him at odds on favorite right now, or would you be more inclined to look towards a plus money price anywhere else? And again, the fact that we don't have Paul Skeens until the fourth betting choice, it's the Miz at minus $1.40, Christopher Sanchez plus $2.20, Shohei Ohtani at 12-1, and then Paul Skeens is at 15-1. Advantageous to wait here, Will, maybe until the All-Star break, or is there value for you in looking at one of these starters? And Chase Burns is at 30-1. I know Jonathan Von Tobel, Mitch Moss have talked about that on Pod of the Futures. Anything advantageous in your eyes in that race, or I'll give you the floor, open it up, any other of the MLB award races that you really find some value in?
Anytime you have somebody odds on, especially in Cy Young, with this much time to go, where pitching is just so volatile and these pitchers can get hurt. And look, we all love watching Mizorowski. That's a pretty, you know, herky-jerky, almost violent motion. You're throwing 105, kind of a skinny kid. You got to figure there's somebody else that can be bet. Skeens, does enough runway here just checking his stats? I mean, you would think the way Skeens is talked about here that he's got like a 5 ERA. He's been awful. He's got a 2.85 ERA. He's still been pretty good. That would probably be my bet. Skeens 15-1. I've made worse bets than that. Sale 20-1, Burns 31. Those all look pretty interesting. To me, it's far from a two-horse race. As great as Sanchez and Mizorowski have been, there's still too much time left. There's too much chance for injury. The chance, you know, they limit Mizorowski's innings. which I think is unlikely, but it's still possible. Skeens 15-1, I think, would be the bet. I might actually add that one.
All right, let me redirect, counselor. To win NL MVP, you can lay $16 to win one on some guy named Shohei Ohtani, or I can give you the field, Will, at 9-1. 9-1 for the field against Shohei. This is a special betting market at DraftKings. Does that pique your interest at all? Because all it takes is one, and then you miss a little bit of time and you're out for a little bit, and then that 9-1, it doesn't even matter who it is.
He's got such a cushion, though. I remember it was in 2023 where he missed the last month and he still won it. I think we've done this the last few years where you try to make a case for somebody else in the National League, Lindor, this guy, De La Cruz, and you end up just throwing money away. I gave out Ohtani, I think, before the year at plus 200, bet him plus 200. That's one you just got to remember every year to bet him. He's just going to win. As long as he's healthy, he's going to hit his 25, 30 homers. He's going to have his 2 or 3 ERA, and he's going to win easily. So I can't make a case for anyone other than Ohtani.
It's fun being on with you and John yesterday morning. Did you bet the Frenchman? Did you cash the Ciragon tickets?
I did. Good call by
you. I know you did. We're back next hour of VSiN by the Books.